first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Good afternoon, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to podcast number 80. It's not the start we usually get because we have just literally just had the squad announced via Sky Sports News.
Sky Go.
It's 10 past 1, and it's literally just been announced.
Yeah, around the table we've got Jerome Mundell, Mike Coxon, Sean Miller, Stuart Hoare, Dan Silver, and myself. So it's a full list. Right, let's go through it. Goalkeepers, we've got
John Hart, new entry. John Ruddy and Robert Green.
Right, any issues with that?
No.
Did everyone have those three?
To be fair, I would have liked Fraser Foster from Celtic in there because he's had a great season. But
is that the ex-Newcastle?
He's on loan from Newcastle. He had two great seasons at Celtic, and before that he was the goalkeeper that got Norwich up from League One. And if he did, I would have liked to see him in instead of Rob Green, but I can't really.
All right. So, did anyone else have anything different on their squad?
Robinson instead of Green, but no.
See, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have Green anywhere near the bus, let alone the squad.
Well, it would hardly be sport
for
choice in the
goal. Well, no, Hart and Ruddy. I mean, Ruddy. Everyone was sort of making out it was a bit of a surprise, but looking at those goalkeepers,
exactly,
we used the mirror page to actually look at who was in there. And
yeah, I went Ruddy.
Yeah, he's definitely. Ruddy and Hart were my two.
He's fucked now, isn't it? It's got to be cancelled.
He's insured.
It's fine, he's insured.
When was the day of the wedding? The first?
The second.
Oh, dear.
The day before my birthday as well. You think he would have thought about that?
Yeah, exactly. Should have got an invite. All right, so officially it's Joe Hart, John Ruddy, and Robert Green.
Sam Allardyce is walking down the road.
And Sam Allardyce.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Someone get a photo.
Okay.
Brilliant. Right. Directly knows the squad, or should we announce it to
him?
Who picked Sam?
Yeah, he's just going on. Sam Allardyce has just walked past and Sean's tackled him and he's just walked straight past. All his mates are looking around laughing. Sean, go and have a look, see where he goes. If he goes in the pub, we'll get a photo. Right.
I'll tell you something, he's not as fat in the flash.
No, he's not.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Someone should have grabbed the microphone. What do you think of Steve Keane, Sam?
If he was on his own, I might have said it, but there was a lot of people.
He had an entourage.
Were they all midgets?
He goes around with midgets. Sam Allardyce and his midget.
He's only
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
He's definitely not the fairest of them all, though, is he?
I love the fact that
Sean's just caning him.
We all absolutely bottled it then, didn't we? We all literally. Fuck me, Sam Allardyce.
To be honest, mate, I didn't bottle it. I just thought it took him for him to walk past us to actually realise it.
Good luck in the playoff final, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not.
Oh, come on. We'll get on to that in a bit.
Sorry.
Right, defenders. Who is officially in?
Officially in, Leighton Baines, Gary Cahill, Ashley Cole, Glenn Johnson, Phil Jones, Joni Lescott, John Terry. That's what I've got.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Yep.
All right, so out of that, who wouldn't have had...
John Terry.
You wouldn't have...
I would have taken Ferdinand instead. I think he's a better player than John Terry. I cannot believe Mika Richards is not in the squad. Yeah, me neither. I would have taken Mika Richards ahead of Glenn Johnson.
Especially the fact that Carl Walker's now injured.
Yeah. And Elvis is coming past as well now.
Elvis. I don't know about that.
Well, in fact, we mug off Elvis. Elvis hasn't got an entourage with him. So. I'd have taken Richards as well, to be honest.
I can't believe they're not taking Edley King.
I think anyone.
The only thing
can
I
can
say
that.
Is that Richards haven't played recently.
Yeah.
Lately.
Last three games.
He hasn't played the last three games.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty much. Like,
you're both saying the same point, James.
But that's it. But I think it's not. I think it's madness.
Yeah. The last three games, Richards hasn't played. Sorry, I made the point as well.
Hey! The thing is with Richards, apparently the FA And I know what it's not it? The FA picking it, but apparently they don't like his movement and his lack of concentration. Positional sense and lack of concentration is what they put him down.
I've heard a few rumours that there were questions about his attitude off the pitch as well, but I don't know whether that's true.
It looks like he's mates with Joe Barton.
That's what it looked like. After that sending off.
I'll tell you something, the fact Joey Barton is in there is a farce.
But I mean, but you can cover at centre back as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Phil Jones Phil Jones is centre pony. Centre back, right back.
He's not a Micah Richards, though, is he? You'd have taken him if you weren't taking Richards, but Richards should have been the number one.
So you would say Richards in front of Glenn Johnson?
Yeah, I think he's a better
defender. I'd take Phil Jones for the experience. Enough, I don't think he can start again.
No. See if we can agree on this. In goal, we're starting with Joe Hart. Yeah, we can all agree on that. Right back.
From the squad,
centre backs, who would you go with?
Lescott and Cahill.
I'd go with Terry and Cahill.
Definitely.
It's got to be Terry and Cahill, otherwise they wouldn't have taken Terry. They've played together at Chelsea.
Oh, we will do Terry and Cahill.
But you go Lescott.
Yeah,
me too. Dodgy back there.
Left back, I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, later. He won't play because we've got.
Is Baines going? Did you say
Baines
is
going? Baines cover, yeah.
All right, so he's got cover at left back, but there's no. Is there any cover?
Well, Phil Jones will be. Because,
yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Right back, yeah.
So we agreed on the back five at the moment. Yeah. Right, midfielders, Jay, who's actually been picked?
Gareth Barry.
Yep.
Stuart Downing.
Boo!
Carry on.
Out!
You don't know what you're doing.
Frank Lampard, James Milner. Oxlade Chamberlain, Scott Parker,
who might not recover from an injury.
Ashley Young.
All right, from this, I think that obviously the standout two are Stuart Downing that's in, which we started hearing rumours about that earlier. Yeah. We've been talking about it in the office all morning.
Disgusting. Yeah, you know, everyone knows my love of Stuart Downing.
Yeah.
But I was so chuffed when it came out with the final end of season stats with no goals and no assists in the entire Premier League campaign.
Mm-hmm. What does he bring to the team?
That's absolutely nothing.
He got one assist. He's got Kenny Dalglish the sack by the sack. I've rubbed that off someone, but very good whoever did it.
But I mean, that is what
he looks threatening.
It makes
sense. Like a choir boy.
It does.
It's strange. Okay, and Oxlade Chamberlain as well. If the rumours hadn't come out this morning and it had been announced and we'd had like blanket coverage on it, no coverage on it, if Oxlade Chamberlain would have been a massive shock.
I would.
It smacks of was it when Spain took Theo to
2010. He's had a season ahead of him.
To be fair, I'd say it's more like Spain taking Rooney to 2004. Not got the most experience, but the potential explosion.
Yeah.
And he's played in the Champions League.
And what position? Well, yeah, they had Jack Wilshere on the radio this morning saying that he was the best player against AC Milan in the second leg.
He was.
He was midfield.
Yeah, it was magnificent.
That's the other thing about it.
We're probably looking at Oxlade Chamberlain as an impact sub, aren't we?
Yeah.
And if he is an impact sub, where are you looking at him? Left,
impact,
right?
I think right. As an
right,
impact
left.
Sub.
Yeah. Anyway,
who the hell are we going to play on the left? Are we going to start Downing?
James Milner.
Yeah,
Ashley Young will be on left. That's been the last 2 years.
Yeah,
he's played quite well there.
Any other players that you had in your list? I'll go through mine quickly. I'd have taken Joe Carr above Stuart Downing.
Easily.
I would have taken Andy Cole.
Scholes
was Downing.
He was not coming out of retirement though.
Scholes wasn't Hodgson's choice to make. I don't know if they approached him.
If it was possible, I would have taken him.
Agreed. What about Aaron Lennon as a Spurs fan?
No.
As a Spurs fan, let him.
On his day, he is absolutely devastating, and he can rip a left back to shreds, but I don't know. But the problem is, we've got no one else. If you look down that list, no one else. Width and pace that's going to attack a fullback.
It's got the same limitations that Downing's got.
But I mean, we've got him
I think Lennon's final ball has got significantly better, and Walcott's hasn't.
Yeah.
And I just think
if we're talking about the formation he's going to play is the one up top with the two off him.
Yeah.
Although we're talking about these as the likes of Walcott, Young, Oxlade Chamberlain, Milner, even, and Downing as midfielders. In reality, they're more of the strike force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If everyone's fit, you're looking at Parker and Barry.
Right, let's go through that. Can we agree on a midfield? Who would you play in midfield?
I have to say before we go on to it, I would have taken Carrick ahead of Barry. because Carrick is far better at playing the ball.
Again, I agree with that.
Again, yeah, I agree with that as well. I can't stand.
I never thought it happened.
I would. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Carrick deserves to be in the squad because he's been consistent for Man United. He's had a great end to the season, but the one thing I will say about Barry is I'm not his biggest fan, but the last few Man City games I've seen, Gareth Barry has actually been quality.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
He has been very good.
So I can see your point you're making, but I would actually take Barry on his recent form.
I do like the fact that both us and Hodgson seem to be picking it. We're saying Richards, he's not played in the last three games. Barry's been great for the last few games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hodgson's clearly just doing these.
Yeah. He's worse than.
Yeah.
Okay. So are we agreeing that it's going to be a 2-3, like a 2-3 formation? So two holding and then the three and then the one up front.
Yeah. So who's your two?
I think it's got to be Barry and Parker.
I'd go for Parker and Lampard.
I'm bang on with Coxon now. I'll go with Barry and Lampard as my two.
What I'd like it to be.
No, what you think it should be. Again, we've just done the back five of what we
play. They're the same thing, what you think it should be.
That's the same thing. What we reckon it will be. What I genuinely think.
What are you asking, man?
Because it's what you think Hodgson will pick or what you would pick. There's two different opinions. Right.
It's our own opinion.
In a minute. Sam's just gone off to get it.
Right.
So as you're holding two, Sean, who would you have?
Yeah, I would stick Lampard in there. I'd go with Lampard and Parker.
Lampard and Parker.
Yep.
So that's the podcast consensus, although a couple would go with Barry.
I'd go because I think Parker can do the defensive role himself.
Exactly.
I don't think he needs Lampard to license. We're not talking about
Lampard's in, according to all of us, but it's whether you play Barry alongside him or Parker alongside
Parker.
Him.
Parker.
Oh, you're Lampard. Lampard's
taken an awful long time to agree on us all saying Scott Parker.
I think
we have all agreed.
Lampard has played better this season than Gerrard.
Oh, definitely. Gerrard wouldn't get into my starting line.
Well, he's not in our starting line by the sounds of it. Unless he's going to play him, I'd have him as two wingers and one behind the striker, isn't he?
I'd have Gerrard certainly for the first two games.
So, we've agreed on the two holding. The left side of the three.
It's got Young. Young.
It's going to be Young.
I would have Young off the striker, and then I'd put Walcott on the right and Milner on the left.
I don't think well
it's not a bad shout, but
can he play off a striker?
He has done for England and for United.
He's not that well liked again of the Man United fans, and I don't even know how many Man United
not popular at the moment.
He's a very good player. Ooh. And he has got the ability to produce something from nothing. He's shown in an England shirt form as well.
He's done that off the striker, so that's why I play him there.
Or cutting in from the left and shooting from the left hand side of the box. He does like bending it in the top corner.
That is true.
So what about your other two players? So you've got your one behind the striker and your right hand of the three.
I've got Walcott.
Walcott.
On the right?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with that. Anyone else for anything else?
No, I mean, the only thing I can think is in tighter games, put Milner there. For a bit more protection going back.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
Walcott, if we're going to be positive.
But we're pretty much all going Walcott, Gerrard, Young then.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
I'd say certainly for the first two games.
Yeah. Without Rooney, yeah.
Without definitely. Rooney.
With Carroll up top?
Okay, yeah.
Carroll up top for them.
I'd go for Danny Welbeck.
Oh, sorry, and okay, who are the strikers' names?
Strikers, Carroll,
Defoe, Rooney, and Welbeck.
So just the four strikers.
Just the four strikers.
All right.
Do we agree with the four?
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't have taken Jermaine Defoe.
But who would you take? He gives you something there. I know he has this impact,
but for me, I'd rather see Daniel Sturridge go as a.
He's more of a winger.
Sturridge would be included in his midfielders, but then
I think he's going to benefit from the experience, and he can play through the centre.
Exactly, we've got three people.
I would have also taken Crouch,
but when he played for season four for Bolton, he carried the centre. He looked a lot better, I thought.
Anyway. So, who are we starting for the first two games? Rooney, obviously, when he comes back in, who are you starting out of that lot?
I would say Welbeck.
I'd go with Welbeck.
Stu?
Carroll.
I think we need a bit of meat. I think it's got to be Carroll. I think we need a bit of a presence.
Yeah.
No, I think
Big
we do.
To be honest, that's
one of the biggest positions which is up for grabs in these two friendlies we've got.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll start with Carroll in the first games. And if he doesn't produce the goods, well,
he's played quite well for
three
games. He has
for the last three games.
Which is, as we've already established, what Roy Hodgson's touching it on.
But I mean, with the formation they're playing, but they're Ashley Young and Wefia Walcott, their premise will be, right, get past your man and get some balls in the box.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're both not bad in the air, but I mean, Carroll, like, he was unplayable.
Carroll's
on my I don't want it to come from Ashley Cole and J Johnson that long ball. Because
no.
It's just not going to work.
Because that's not going to work. Exactly. It hasn't worked no, for the last five years. I think
that's what we will end up doing as well, because Carroll's up top.
One thing I do like as well, actually, we're talking impact sub.
I mean, you look at the impact that he made in the FA Cup final.
Well, I think he has the potential for that. Mm. What I do like is we've been talking about being for the last three games, but even that doesn't explain Stuart Downing.
No,
the last
three games,
all he's done is miss a penalty, which is the last thing you want at a tournament when you're England.
Hodgson has got a press conference at 2 o'clock, I believe. I think one of the main questions will be surrounding Stuart Downing and surrounding Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And it'll be very interesting to see how the press take that and how
the biggest,
Terry, get
the biggest question will be Terry, yeah.
And
Terry
the captaincy
and
as well, I suppose, which
yeah,
leaves
true,
us
true.
On.
It's interesting.
The thing is, with Terry, I know it's going to be a big issue, but it's an easy answer. He's a very easy answer to Hodgson. Even if it wasn't the case, he can just say it's a footballing decision.
Yeah.
Because Terry's played more games, he's looked better,
he's
scored goals as well.
He's not actually played more games this season. Ferdinand's played 30, I think Terry's played slightly less.
No, I think
they've played about similar.
In terms of minutes on the pitch, he's played.
Minutes on the pitch, what he'll say is that Ferdinand can't play more than...
Well, that's it. That's what he'll
say. More
than
two games in a week.
To be honest, it's hard to argue that,
because Ferdinand's played all season for United. He's not had a big spell on the sidelines. He's played three games in a week on something like five occasions.
I think but a tournament side is different. It is different, and I think
he's got that excuse for back on.
It's either a very good smokescreen, but it's not that much of an outrageous statement that you can't argue that that's just wrong. It's a good enough reason.
He doesn't want to play because John Terry's going to be in the team. He doesn't want to play.
It's potential. Everyone obviously found out about this last night.
And he's missed every European
Rio was playing a friendly, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Rio was playing a friendly in Northern Ireland, I believe.
Northern Ireland.
He obviously told some people. All right, so the lineup we've got.
I think I'm really sad for Kyle Walker.
It's a real shame. It'll be a shame if Parker misses out through injury as well.
Yeah, because that'll be his last tournament.
If we're talking about shames as well, Ferdinand, he's a bit unlucky on
it.
Because
in his day, he was
a great. World class, 81 caps.
Exactly. He's the best natural English defender we've had since maybe Tony Adams. But the problem is he's had so much baggage, so many injuries throughout his career.
Yeah. But I mean,
it was his pace. It was his pace as well. It was electric.
Yeah. And he's lost that.
The ones he's missed. Euro 2000, he wasn't included.
Mm. I think he had quite a good time though with Kieran Dyer and Frank.
Yeah, that was when he was out there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Iron Appa.
2002.
He went to the World Cup and was our best player, arguably.
2004.
He was banned.
So he's missed Euro 2000. He's missed Euro 2004.
I think he was unlucky to get that banned.
2006. Again, he was one of our better players in what was a pretty drab tournament.
2008, we didn't qualify. And 2010, he got injured.
Yeah.
Was going to go into it as captain. Yeah. So he's missed two Euros and a World Cup.
Yeah.
The first Euro didn't get picked, fair enough. The other one, he was. He's missed. He's missed more than that.
Euros.
Yeah.
He went to 98.
One Euros
World Cup,
he wasn't picked. One we didn't make. And the other one, he couldn't play because he was banned. And then the World Cup, he got injured when he would have been probably
played.
And this is the fourth one he's missed.
And this is his last one as well. All right, quickly, guys. Because then we'll move on. Because there is some other stuff that we need to talk about. Feel free to chip in whenever you want, Mike. Joe Hart.
It's terrible.
Leave it once it's finished. You'll get you angry in a minute. Right, so our team is this. Joe Hart in goal.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole, left back. John Terry, Gary Cahill. Centre backs, Glenn Johnson, right back, left. We'll do the two holding. Parker and Lampard holding. Young on the left. Walcott on the right. Gerrard behind Andy Carroll. Rooney when he comes in. How does that compare,
it's
guys?
Not a
for you,
very good team, is it?
I don't know.
It's not one that's going to light up the Euros.
This is the last England team which I've printed out. This is the team sheet for the last England team that started a European finals game. David James.
So
that's
2004.
David James in goal.
So we've got a better goalkeeper now.
Right back, Gary Neville over Glenn Johnson.
I would definitely take Neville over Johnson.
Ashley Cole is Ashley Cole left back.
I'd definitely take Ashley Cole.
Centre defenders, John Terry and Sol Campbell. Better than John Terry and Gary Cahill?
Because it was John Terry at his best and Sol Campbell at his best.
Sol Campbell. You look at how we were blessed. France 98, I think Sol Campbell might have been.
You look at how we were blessed at then. The fact that Rio Ferdinand was suspended and we still had two world-class centre-halves with Jamie Carragher and Ledley King, who were both at the top of the game, as backup.
Yeah. Okay, move on to centre midfield. Paul Scholes and Frank Lampard.
Scholes played on the left, it was Gerrard and Lampard, which never worked.
No, but I mean, yeah, they're both going to be in our team this
year.
Yeah, but a different formation as well.
How England haven't really improved.
Exactly.
Then left wing, as you say, Scholesy, right wing, David Beckham. I'd say that's, going into this tournament, I'd say, I don't know, Walcott, it's very different, isn't it? It's
very different wingers, because Beckham was always a very narrow, right-sided player, and he was slightly past his best by then.
But then you've got to factor in the set pieces as well.
Yeah.
Who's going to be on our set pieces in this?
2004 was past his best, do you think so?
I'd say slightly. I think he was at his best in 2002.
Okay. Yeah, I expect Gerrard will be on corners, I would have thought. But and then up front, obviously, Rooney and Owen started, and we've got
Carroll.
We'll leave that there.
If someone had said
look at the bench, though, as well. I love the bench. Kieran Dyer, Emil Heskey,
Ian Walker,
Ian Walker, Phil Neville, Nicky Butt.
One other thing that we were talking about earlier on, I didn't get a chance to find this out. Do you have to take three goalkeepers? Is that a...
Yes, I would have sacked the third goalkeeper.
Because
that's what North Korea tried to do at the last World Cup.
Of course,
they named an outfield player as a goalkeeper. They were told you can't play him outfield.
Oh, really?
You'll have to be your goalkeeper.
Oh, I do remember that.
But look, they lost 7-0 against Portugal with a goalkeeper, so God knows what would have happened.
Not in North Korea, they didn't. They won 4-0.
Don't think about it.
I know, but I remember hearing the story, because in North Korea, that was they didn't show the Brazil game where they lost 2-1 but played really well. So
they showed
one goal. Show the Portugal game, that'd be great. They showed it, they lost, and then they just ended with, that commences the coverage of the World Cup in North Korea, and just completely cut away, because
the World Cup was in North Korea. They had their own World Cup.
Probably.
I love the fact everyone now walks past, we have a little look around.
Are they famous?
Is it famous?
Is this a Championship manager? Well, Stu's a Championship manager, football manager, whatever you want to call it.
After the name of the squad, I think we need to answer this question here.
Which one?
Where is it? He's going to be captain. Where is it?
No, that's next week now. We've done enough on England.
Yeah.
Another thing on England, Gary Neville as coach. Thoughts on that, guys?
Phil Neville was muted, as it's going to be. Everyone thought it would be Phil.
I mean, it's come completely out of left field. But
I think good choice.
Yeah, I mean,
I've always liked Gary Neville. I'm sure I've
you've always liked Gary Neville. I'm sorry, Sean, but that is a lie. No one has always liked Gary Neville.
I've always loved Gary Neville.
Okay, okay.
Even Neville hasn't always liked Gary Neville.
Exactly.
It's Sky Sports. She's better looking than Sam Allardyce. Just a random girl there. It's an interesting one. He's been allowed to continue his role as Sky pundit, basically, as well.
Yeah.
Not for the entire tournament.
Sky haven't got coverage, so it doesn't impact.
He's got coverage.
ITV, the same as every major tournament.
But you say that, the chances of you, are they not?
No.
I thought there might be some sort of
side issue. There's going to be controversy there, because, all right, the Euros will go, but he's got a four-year contract. Whenever he's commentating on a Premier League game now next season, he will be talking about English players more often than not every game.
Yeah.
Every comment he passes on them, you're going to be like, oh, is that going to impact?
Exactly. It's
just bound to... And then people are already digging up stuff, because he said he wanted Redknapp to get the job, and then he's been talking about Andy Carroll and what he's good at and what he's not good at. They've already started raking up old wounds.
Who was chatting about... Was it me and you, Mikey, that were chatting about Glenn Johnson? And there was rumours that he wasn't going to be in because he had a massive fallout with...
He came out and slugged Hodgson off after he left Liverpool.
No, it wasn't. Someone told me that supposedly, partly through Hodgson at Liverpool, they had a massive fallout, Johnson told his agent, or his agent then told, Johnson told his agent to get Hodgson not to speak to him. He said he did not to speak to him directly. If he ever wanted to speak to him, he had to speak to him through his agent.
Supposedly
back then they had a massive fallout.
He could use Kevin Nolan, because obviously Nolan will be there now. Carroll's been called up.
To be honest, his agent will probably do a better job than Stuart Downing out on the left.
All right, so that sort of rounds up the England stuff.
Oh, I just want to go back to say We've gone with Andy Carroll up front. A month ago, if we had said, like,
yeah, you're right.
Go for an, like, pick your, between the lot of us, pick your England team, would we have gone with
classic Andy Sean Point?
Alright, yeah.
No, we wouldn't, obviously.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a point very well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a point very well worth making.
Yeah, worth making, but badly made.
But we have also said that we are only picking this England team on the last three games.
Yeah.
As Roy Hodgson is. So.
Yeah,
okay. He's not famous either,
no, he's
is
not
he?
Famous.
Right, well,
he looks a bit like Mick McCarthy, though.
Is that what's happened?
To be fair,
you just said he looks a bit like Mick McCarthy from behind.
Well,
how many times have you seen Mick McCarthy from behind?
I remember Sam Allardyce was in the pub before when we did it.
He was, yeah. We missed him that time.
Mick McCarthy.
That's the suitcase with Sam Allardyce's bung in it.
Straight from Blackpool.
Alleged.
Mick McCarthy is the second favourite to get the Aston Villa.
Please, no.
The Aston Villa job.
I saw the odds.
Good luck to him.
That got it. And you. Past
to be fair, he knows the area.
He's behind Barry Fry, I think.
No, if we're going to talk about
so
this.
Jerry France on
the teams he managed always have good reserve teams as well.
That's a plus.
Let's talk about Villa quickly.
He's gone from 25 to 1 to 7 to 1 in an afternoon because loads of bets went on him. So I don't know where this has come from, but apparently. He is second favourite now in most bookmakers. And,
just Wolves fans.
It's just I think it's just going to be another cheap option.
Who's a favourite?
Paul Lambert's favourite, which I wouldn't mind at all.
Lambert would have to be mental to take that job. Your squad is about as good as Norwich's, and the expectations are
With Lambert, he only basically he reckoned. Well, the reports are he can't take Norwich any further. He can't buy any more players, or he can't get any big players because they're only on. Some like I think the maximum is like 20 grand contracts. I might be wrong, 15, 20 grand contracts, so you can't buy other big players. So I think, and he's on a rolling 12-month contract there as well.
So it's not a lot to buy him out then, is it?
Yeah, so it'll be a cheap option as well.
People probably would have thought his Colchester side beat Norwich 7-1, he was mental to take the Norwich job. So
No, because Norwich had a decent squad and they were in that league and there was ambition there.
Everyone has an off day.
You haven't got a decent squad. You've got a bottom six squad.
No, there's potential in that squad.
There's
a lot of Nzogbia, Agbonlahor.
Yeah, there's potential. There's a lot more potential. Such a rubbish team. They really are.
There are some potentially good young players there.
We'll see anyway.
The other one. Do we know any more on the Liverpool situation?
Nothing more that I've heard.
They're rubbish.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Dalglish is apparently having talks in Boston.
No, he's flown back.
Has he flown back?
Yeah.
He's back here while they discuss it
in Boston. So
talking behind
his
back.
They're not going to sack him.
Yeah, they're going to bring him back out.
Be mutual if he goes.
He'll do a Hessenthaler and move upstairs.
Yeah. Potentially. I really enjoy listening to Jay as well speak. Just your voice. Just such a good voice.
Soothing.
Talking of which, yesterday we played football and in the showers after, I didn't have any shower gel, so I said, Jay, can I borrow your shower gel? He was like, fumbled around, he passed it over the top. It's Lynx, Dark Temptation.
Dark Temptation, that's that.
What is wrong with that? Don't
for a black man shower gel, it's genius.
I'm dark sure I've temptation. Seen you call yourself. Wasn't that your old Twitter name?
No, it wasn't.
That's not got back to his old
Twitter
name.
That was Chisel Mizzle, wasn't it?
Right, we are on show number 80. Let's get it back to a little bit more of the familiarity that we're used to. Show number 80, on the 13th of June 1980, Clive Allen became the most expensive teenager in Europe.
Oh, sure.
Signing for, do you know?
QPR.
No, signed from QPR.
Arsenal. Right.
To Arsenal for 1.25 million.
Good on him.
There you go.
And didn't he go to Arsenal?
Do you know how many games he played for Arsenal?
Zero, wasn't
none.
It?
None. Yeah. Absolutely none.
Did and he get straight to Spurs after that?
No, he got sold to Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Sampson went to the other way, to Arsenal, and as part of the deal, Clive Allen went. And there was loads of rumours that they wanted to do the deal, but QPR said, we'll only sell him if we don't sell him direct to you. So he sat at Spurs for like 2-3 months.
Sat at Arsenal.
Arsenal for like 2-3 months. Yeah. Just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. Anyway, right.
Can I jump in there before anyone does and say that...
Right, Man United fan Michael Coxon.
MUTV are now showing films. They started off with Gone in 60 Seconds. Boom, boom.
Where did you watch it, Mike?
I watched it at home. I turned to my girlfriend when QPR went 2-1 up and said, Man City is still going to win this. It got to 90 minutes and it'd just gone to 2-2. She didn't give a damn, no. It went to 2-2, went to full time.
She carried on rubbing herself with Dark Temptation.
Jay wasn't around on Sunday, that was Saturday. No, got to full time, they were 2-2. I said, they're still going to win this. And it was quite interesting, not obviously from a United fan who felt like he'd been punched in the stomach's point of view, but watching, because I was watching it just the United game and the reaction of the players, the fans. Fair play to Ferguson. The first thing he did when it was announced was wave the United players down to applaud our fans who travelled. Mm. But can't argue City deserved to win the league. They scored more, conceded less.
Yeah.
They did it in a very United way, not only winning it right at the end, but they dominated teams where we'd win 1-0, 2-0. It was heartbreaking. I'm still not over it. It still upsets me.
You would not believe how upset Michael Coxon has been at work this week. It's been. I've wanted to put an arm around him every single time I've seen him.
It's not been nice, but I can tell you, City, they've waited 44 years. The relationships, I was saying to Stu on the way down, it's strange. United and City fans actually seem to be getting on better since City have become successful, because it's almost become a friendly rivalry. You're actually competing against each other, not just insulting each other. But fair play, it's a shame the way Carlos Tevez acted, holding up that sign, although...
Sorry, can we all chip in here? I'm just
trying to cut this out, but...
We're not cutting out, we're going to talk about it.
It's heat of the moment.
Right, that's the Man United point of view. From a neutral point of view, it was absolutely...
Hilarious.
No, it wasn't hilarious to me. It was just complete drama. The only hilarious thing was watching this clip of the United fans, those women going like that. And then they obviously, someone goes, they fucking scored! And then they just go... celebrating to go and just like
you've just done a facial expression on the podcast.
Well, there you go.
Slate people for that, and you've just done a facial.
Fair
expression.
Enough. Next, fair enough. Calling them readers.
I'm getting caught up in the moment again. Getting absolutely caught up in a moment. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying it's the greatest end ever, and I think that does a disservice to the Arsenal Liverpool end in '89, which was the two teams playing each other, and it was the goal difference. But that wasn't the Premier League. Yeah, but yeah, top.
It's the greatest end of the Premier League.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I genuinely don't think they should bother to have another Premier League season.
It will be a disappointment.
It will be a disappointment.
I tell you what, I'll agree with that if Chelsea win the Champions League.
Stuart, QPR perspective. You didn't go up, did you? You had quite a few mates there. I had quite a few mates there as well.
Yes.
Are you a little bit upset you didn't go?
Not particularly.
Half time, you weren't happy. You text me saying Cardiff away next season.
I did. I'd have quite enjoyed that.
At half time, there was no chance. The only way that the QPR was staying up was if Stoke scored, in my view.
Yeah.
Because I could not see Man City getting back into that whatsoever. Right, Mike's left the table. It was bloody hilarious, wasn't it? Mike's at the bar.
His third pint, we've only been it.
He's not having a great week, is he?
If you listen
to last week's show, listeners,
God, he
was quite angry then. This week he's been...
He's gone over that point of angry to the fact that I'm funny. If someone said something a bit wrong, he might lash out.
You know when
someone gets really, really angry, they just go really quiet, and you think someone could strike at any second.
At this point, I'm going to make 2 points. Right, I've used the gag "feel free to" because obviously Man City beating 3-2. I've used that about 20 times on email, tweets, and in conversation.
It's really wound about.
I'm going to use that once more when he comes back, just to see his reaction, see what he does, and also. He's been all over Twitter saying that he gets really angry when people say that Man City deserve to win the title, because he said, which is a fair point, because if Man United had finished above them, they'd have got more points than them, they'd have won more games, they would have deserved to win the title. So I'm going to say, well, to be honest, I'm glad Man City won it because they deserve to win the title, and we'll see if he goes off of that. I feel he might, but we'll go for it.
Are you going to tell him about the Twitter joke you put on, or are you actually going to explain that to him, because he didn't get it, did he?
I don't think I need to.
No,
I don't think he needs to know that. Basically, I just ignored it. I sent a tweet from the podcast account saying Mike Hogson is free to join us, to which he replied, yeah, good man Jim, it's not blah, blah. And then I put, alright, give me 5 minutes and I'll come up with a couple more, obviously relating to the 5 minutes of stoppage time Man City's going twice, to which, yeah, as you said, he did straight over
9 minutes later he came out and went, well, it's been 9 minutes now and you haven't given us any more time, so joke's on you. I was like, no, Cox, you don't get it at all, do you mate?
I remained a dignified silence through that. So it's true, probably the best scenario for your fans as well. I spoke to a couple of the QPR fans up there, because at 2-1 he was worrying because he thought, I'm not going to get out of Manchester alive.
Yeah, exactly, because they would have just torn the place up.
They were tearing the place up. They were showing clips of the City fans just like tearing seats up and like beating. I was like, God, there's going to be some wives and dogs and cats.
To last that long, serves them right. They didn't expect us to give them a game whatsoever. They were all expecting just to absolutely pump us.
What an unbelievable diving header from Mackie.
It's like a face plant.
It was wonderful.
Given Mackie quite a lot of criticism.
It was a wonderful header, though.
As a footballer, he's not very technically gifted, but he works his nuts off.
What a run from Traore. And then a wonderful ball. And you just see him coming at the back post, you think, go on, put your head on that, son. Yeah, yeah. And he's just, and I love the
he's trying his hardest to get his face away from
but the angle from behind the goal where you see, so he's got, you see him both feet off the ground together and just that proper diving old school header. It was brilliant.
Brings us on
Joe Barton.
Naughty Boys of the Week. Oh,
good lad.
Firstly, we'll name the first naughty boy, Tim Cahill, who, surely, he must just want a long holiday.
Yeah.
He must just want he just went up to him, throttled him, and they appealed it.
Apparently, Kabai said something really nasty, and that's why he's reacted.
Yeah. Kabai has come out and apologised.
And he's apologised for what he said. I'm not sure what he's said.
Hasn't confirmed what he's said.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I want to get into it, but he's apologised. Both of them have apologised for it.
But I think, yeah, that was just a bit weird, that one.
It was just come from nowhere, like... It was just like end of season madness. There's loads of fights.
But now, Joey Barton.
So, the three things: the elbow, the attempted headbutt, the kick, the attempted headbutt, and then to come out on Twitter that evening or the next day and say that he was trying to take a man out with him.
No. This is the brilliant thing. He said one of my teammates told me to take one of them out.
I swear.
No, and when you watch the clip again, no one speaks of it. I think he's got a little voice in his head. That it would explain so much. Yeah, it would explain, if he's got a little voice in his head that he thinks is someone else telling him, and someone's gone, "Oi, Joey, take one of the other fellas," and he's gone, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And it would explain everything if he's actually got a voice in his head.
You can almost see the little devil on his shoulder.
On Twitter, he said that his head had never gone. The reason, you can see the contorted anger.
That's unbelievable.
His head went for company.
Suarez is probably not Suarez. Aguero has probably said something or done something.
Somewhere along the line, he's done something.
No, but I don't think he has. He was looking the other way.
I think Aguero said "Meet His Murder" is the best Smiths album, and Barton wasn't having that. He said, "No, it's the Queen is dead."
Bang!
If you look at it before he got sent off, Aguero was coming straight up to him and was in his face. And then I think as he's been sent off, Aguero probably looked at him, probably just good, and you could just see his anger just went, and he completely flipped.
That was brilliant.
I tell you that it is a crime that they stopped the fight of the century. Joey Barton versus Mario
Balotelli.
This is him. I actually thought Twitter might explode because you've got Carlos Tevez involved in the incident and Joey Barton, two of the most talked about people on Twitter for this season.
Why has Carlos Tevez not been done for violent conduct as well?
It's because it's Joey Barton. He's done it to Joey Barton, hasn't he?
He started it before. But right,
he
so
kind of like vaguely waved his arm.
I think he was trying to get round him.
He did have a go at him. So you got Tevez involved, you got Joe Barton involved,
and then Balotelli.
And then right at the end, Balotelli pitches up onto the pitch. And I thought, Twitter's going to explode. Twitter's just going to explode.
Apart from you see that blonde Mohican just pop out, you think, oh, hang on.
I've got a little bit of Balotelli news for you next week. I think you're going to be very excited about what I bring to the table.
Why are you having a laugh?
I think it's quite a bit... I'd like to see the results. What do you think of the fact that he didn't stay for the celebrations?
He
got called up to the under...
They had a civil reception or whatever. He went for a meal in an Italian restaurant. Absolutely.
He did it on his own with his brothers.
Yeah.
When everything was won and stuff and everyone's on the pitch, what was CC doing with Nasri and hugging him and everything?
No,
they're best mates, so that was the thing. CC's chuffed that they're staying up and he's celebrating the league.
He's come out twice and said he's staying if we went down. So of course he's happy we've stayed up.
Can
I just say as an aside, I've just been into the bar where we believe Sam Allardyce is drinking, and I kid you not, there is a bloke who looks just like Steve Keen stood at the bar. I can't confirm whether or not Sam's drinking strawberry woo woo.
Is he in there? Is Sam in there?
I think so.
Feel free to chip in with any other points that you do like to make, like as the show goes on.
I will.
Alright, fair enough. Just to sum up the Man City stuff, I've got to say, I think overall they deserve to win the title. That's the main thing for me. The football they played, they deserve to win that. Anyone?
I've said all along, the team that wins the league deserves to win.
They played the better football. They got the better results overall. They deserve to win the title. If Man United won a title, they would have robbed them for it.
I disagree. I'm a firm believer Man City deserved to win it. If Man City had lost that game, they would have bottled it.
The football they played over the season,
the way they went, I'm not going to deny that.
They said they deserved to win the title. It's admitted they deserved to win the title. Of course, they deserve to win the title.
Right, you're trying to round me up. I'm not. Why would you say that?
No, what I will say.
You nailed it on the head, coach.
What I will say is. Next. It doesn't matter. If you're working in our industry, in advertising, if you.
What?
Do the best deals, but you don't bring in the most money. That doesn't make you the best salesperson. Just because you've done it in the most creative
way. That's a very
way,
interesting
the
analogy.
The most flair way.
Let's continue to talk about football. I just want to point this out. The last thing, quickly. My mate texts me, who's a Watford City guard. He loves his football. He texts me this at 4:44 on Sunday. What's the Man City and Man United scores, please? I'm nowhere near a telly. I couldn't believe
nowhere
it.
Nowhere wrong.
Don't worry. Man City 1, QPR 2, Sunderland 0, Man United 1, 3 minutes left. That's what I actually... how does that feel, mate?
Mate, again, you're trying to round me. I've said City.
And then obviously I text them off saying I take you got a full toss. But that actually.
Did anyone see the Barrett Mario Balotelli interview on it?
He hasn't even said thank you.
Well, no, he's not actually. He hasn't, to be honest, he probably said that to a few people. He's probably got a load of people going,
He probably did say thank you, but he probably spelled it F-A-N-K.
Did anyone see the Mario?
He's not happy about his spelling, please. Woo, woo, woo.
Did anyone see Mario Balotelli's interview after the game?
Yes, I did.
When he was wearing a flat cap.
It's
amazing. In the tunnel afterwards, it's MCTV. Obviously, they've done the celebration of the pitch. They've gone back in, and he's got his chains on. He's got his flat cap on. And he's had a couple of minutes just interview about the team, and it also mentions about how he's really proud of himself. And his teammates.
Secondary.
It was.
He's not the only one fitting into the Northern Spirit with the fly hat, because Mancini's been out this week wearing a Rennie hat. Like, do you know the fishing hats that they all used to wear during Manchester?
Really?
It's been in the papers. Really? Yeah, Mancini's walking back, thinking he's Liam Gallagher.
Can I slide note? We know we're talking about naughty boys.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about naughty girls.
Naughty girls.
What have they been doing in FFDU now?
Naughty girls. Right. Anyone's? I think you guys must have seen this. It was actually courtesy of the Mirror website, brilliantly by Stuart Hall. The female protester at the with the European Tourism.
Oh, yeah,
you guys seen this?
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. So there was the women's rights activist Yulia Kovpacic, who tricked them by. Pretending to pose for a snap next to the trophy, right? As she's got there, she's walked up, all nice and calm, about to have a picture. She's yanked down her top, right? So her boob's out, and got "fuck Euro 2012" written on her stomach. As soon as she's done that, she's gone to grab the trophy. All the security guards are bundled in, trying to get her. Basically, she's. It was on her 23rd
Mario Balotelli was there.
It was on her 21st birthday, and she's going to be in court charged with hooliganism.
Hooliganism.
But apparently, she's part of the feminist group, the Ukrainian based feminine group Femen, which claims that next month's tournament will make the country a magnet for sex tourists.
Which is one of the things they're talking
which
about.
Which is probably. A fair point.
What's getting their tits out?
It's showing feminism.
Yeah, advertising. Come on, we're working But no, they're saying the same about the Olympics, so I'm not surprised.
What?
There's been loads of Eastern European prostitutes coming, apparently, and loads of beggars.
Oh, come here specifically for...
Coming over here.
Good old
English girls could be out there in the sex.
I'm heading to the Olympic Village. I'm going to sweep for a couple of things. We did our prediction results. West Brom beat Arsenal, finished 2-3. The closest person was myself. I did a 3-1 prediction. Sean did a 2-1 prediction. Stu did a 2-0. The rest of you were rubbish.
I said 2-0.
You went for 1-0.
No, I said either. I hope they win 2-all.
You did say I hope they win two all.
No, and I said that because it would be a win because it'd be a win for Spurs.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was quite clever actually. So
that's about as clever as spelling nowhere with a K. Don't take it out on me
because you're pissed off.
Jim
with
it. Right, Jim was still closer because he fits in the right result.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still close. I get a point, but you got the point for last week. So we're 1-1 on that. Just quickly, the games we've got coming up this weekend, there's a load of playoff stuff going on. We've got West Ham, Blackpool, the conference playoff final is...
I know we haven't done performance of the week, But can I just say, my performance of the week, sarcastic performance of the week again, has got to be Martin Fulop.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus
my God.
Christ.
Very good.
Oh, my God. It has to be talked about. Because it is genuinely, I believe, the worst
goalkeeper.
The worst goalkeeper performance in the history of the Premier League.
I don't know. Chris Foy's got to be up there as well for his performance in the Bolton Stoke game.
Oh, my God. How is that not a foul on Bogdanovic?
Who's the Liverpool goalkeeper? The Chelsea goalkeeper. Is it Ross Turnbull?
Ross Turnbull.
Versus Martin Fulop. Oh. Their agents are going to be doing something.
Danny Kenny, to be fair, on that first goal.
He made up for it. He's not breaking his fingers as well.
He's taping his own fingers off. Why did you stop the game?
Right, just quickly, guys. We go for the Champions League this week. So I want your score predictions for the Champions League. Stuart.
3-2 Munich.
Yeah?
Yes.
High scoring game.
Dan Silva.
2-1 Bayern, and again I am hoping and praying. I'm going to be not that most of the readers care, but I'm going to be in Poland this weekend on a football tour, and we are playing a game, and I'm going to be watching it in a Polish bar. Which I reckon there'll be more support for Germany.
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not Eurovision. If it was Eurovision, then yeah, it'd be 12 points to Bayern Munich.
Sean.
I'm
going to
go
1-0
Munich.
1-0 Munich? We've got all Munich wins.
I'm going 2-0 Munich.
2-0? I'm going for 2-1 Chelsea.
Fuck off, Staples.
I'm not just doing that to go against the grain.
I did actually put that. That's what I was going to do. Yeah.
I was going to say 3-1 Munich, but then Dan said that it was hilarious, the end of the football. So I'm going to go for 2-1 Chelsea.
We're keeping your original answer, Mike.
I'd rather go for 1-0 Chelsea.
0-1, yeah? Whoever's closest gets a point, we'll keep a tally of the points. Next season, we've got some nice little prediction things coming as well.
Surely I should have 3 points for my correct scoreline, and you should have 1 point for your near scoreline then. So I'm actually 3-1 up.
We started it last week, and it's just whoever gets closest gets 1 point. That's what it is.
Says the manager.
Oi, complaints at Simon Edge. You know what to do, mate.
I think we might have to start changing this.
One other little mention, the German crowd trouble, and the fact that pitch invasions are back. There's been pitch invasions pretty much everywhere.
Even last night, both
Sheffield teams. Huddersfield last night, as you say.
Alan Smith got his head kicked in by Huddersfield fans.
Did he really?
He was getting spat at, punched at.
Because the managers.
Yeah.
There's going to be a complaint.
Yeah.
He said that it's quite a big claim to say that that's happened. But does that actually? Did he actually get Fucking hell, that's bad.
Go on the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. We've got some good stuff on there at the moment. We've got One Leg on the Cup's last little blog. There's a FFDU have got their latest chart with Spencer Pryor. Roy Keane answering in having a go at someone answering their phone.
Yeah,
really good. The Lithuanian building site, my God, is absolute genius. If you haven't seen that, it's the latest one.
He's just lost his head and run off, isn't he?
Yeah. If you listen to the show now, if you go back onto the website, it'll be one below the show. It'll be the latest thing on there other than this show. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, where someone liked our photos. Did everyone see this?
No.
Did you comment?
I commented on it.
Someone just said, thanks, great to put faces to the names. My favourite show, looking good, boys. It was like, all right, it was a lad who said it, though. Facebook.com/TheFootballPodcast. As I mentioned, complaints at Simon Head. And also, Simon Head has just emailed me. Robbie Fowler tweeted this 2 minutes after the squad was announced. Gutted, not even on the standby list. # Hodgson out. So, thanks to Si for sending that through. And thanks to Robbie Fowler for doing it.
We could have spoken for about another hour on this show.
Definitely. We'll have a patch show next week. Follow us on Twitter @FootballPodcast. And as I said, the website is www.footballpodcast.co.uk. That's us. Over and out. Speak to you later, guys.
Cheers. Have you calmed down?
Have you calmed down, Mike?
Yeah.
You were more angry last time.